When faith marries holiness, its first offspring is happiness. Faith married to holiness gives birth to happiness. There's no other way. Quite often around the country, people say about us, and around the city too, they say Hiles is a legalist. Now what they don't know is this. I am not a legalist when it comes to salvation. I believe salvation is by grace through faith. There's nothing you can do to earn it. All you do is receive it. I think that Jesus paid it all to him we owe. And there's nothing a person can do to receive Christ or to earn salvation. But wait a minute. That isn't all. Once you're saved, there's something else. God isn't through with you yet. You, to be right with God positionally, you have to do nothing but receive His Son. To be right with God practically, you have to forsake sin. I saw God wash the world last night with His sweet showers on high, and then when morning came, I saw Him hang it out to dry. I saw each tiny, He washed each tiny blade of grass and every trembling tree. He threw His showers against the hills and then the billowy sea. The white rose is whiter still. The red rose is more red, since God hath washed each tiny face and put them all to bed. There's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along the way, but what is a cleaner bird or bee than it was yesterday? I saw God wash the world last night. Ah, would He wash me as clean of all my dirt and filth as that old white birch tree? Now tonight, I'll make no bones about it. I'm after your sin tonight. I'm after my sin tonight. I want our sins laid at this altar tonight. I want us to leave this place with our sins forsaken and forgiven tonight. I'm going to preach a sermon on just forsake your sin. Catharize the leaven out. Wash it out. Cleanse out the old leaven. Now, somebody said, Brother Hiles, I thought you're saved by grace. Yes, you are saved by grace, but the power of God doesn't come unless you get holy and clean and separate from the world. And God can't use you like He wants to use you unless you clean your life up, unless you turn from your sins and from your wickedness. Now, in explaining law and grace, in explaining faith and holiness, God uses the Passover. Now, the Passover lamb was offered. You recall how it was offered. On that 14th day of the first month of the year, corresponding with our month of April, when the lamb was slain and the blood was applied on the doorpost and the lintel of the houses, and the death angel passed over, he took the firstborn of every house where the blood was not applied. Now hold it. He didn't pass over those who were righteous. He passed over those that had blood applied. He didn't pass over those who were good. He passed over those who had the blood applied. I have no doubt but that some people that night, their firstborn was taken in death, who were a lot better people than those who had the firstborn still alive the next morning. Why? Only one criterion. Was the blood applied? That was all. Was the blood applied? Don't you recall how the Lord came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to tell the people this. I want the people to take on the 10th day of the first month of the year a lamb without blemish. I want that lamb to be kept up for 4 days to the 14th day of the month. On the 14th day of that month, and that lamb has been proved without blemish, I want that lamb to be offered as a sacrifice, one for each house. And he said, I want you to take the blood of that lamb and take a hyssop weed. Hyssop weed, just a weed that grew all over the area. I don't know what it's like, but down in Texas we used to have those little weeds that had the fuzz on top, and you split them out of the pockets they were in, and you ate on. They're real sweet. How many ever ate those old weeds? Well, we'd good to eat anything down where I grew up. And weeds that grew everywhere. Take the hyssop weed. Dip the hyssop weed in the blood of that lamb. And put that blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. And the death angel that night passed over. God said to Moses, everybody that has the blood of the lamb applied, the firstborn will live. And every house in Egypt not have the blood applied, when the death angel passes over, he's going to take the oldest child, the firstborn, in every house. And that dark and sad night when the blood was applied, I'm sure somebody said, yeah, those old fundamentalists are at it again. Yeah, but he had a funeral the next day. He had a death the next day.
I don't believe all that.
You don't have to believe it, but you got to bury your oldest child if you don't believe it. And so when the death angel passed over, can you imagine the next morning as the parents of those who had the blood applied came in and looked at the bed contained the body of the oldest child, and the mom and the dad said, praise the Lord, he's still alive. Ah, the blood works. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And the oldest child was alive, and the mom and the dad hugged and rejoiced and kissed the child and praised the Lord. And said, hallelujah, the child is alive. Our baby is not dead. But can you imagine the shock and horror that night, the next morning, as the mom and dad woke up and went to the bed, those that did not have the blood applied. And oh, the mother said, oh, she's gone, she's gone, she's gone. She runs to tell her husband. He rushes in and looks in the cold, lifeless, whitened face of that little child that they had loved and that wanted to rear to maturity and adulthood. And the child is gone. Now why? Because the blood wasn't applied. That's why. No, you don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven because the blood's applied. No, you don't go to heaven because you join the church. You go to heaven because the blood's applied. No, you don't go to heaven because you get baptized. You go to heaven because the blood's applied. No, you don't go to heaven because you take communion. You go to heaven because the blood's applied. Well, you say our church doesn't see it that way. Then your church is going to hell and taking you with it then. You've got to get the blood applied. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. If you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, one of these days your soul shall burn in the torments and fires of hell, fire, and damnation. Why? Because you're bad? No, because you didn't get the blood applied. That's why. Because you didn't join the church? No, because you didn't get the blood applied. You say, but I'm a Baptist. Well, you can be a Baptist in hell if you don't get the blood applied to your sins. But I'm a baptized Baptist. You'll be a baptized Baptist in hell if you don't get the blood applied to your sin. But I'm a separated baptized Baptist. You'll be a separated baptized Baptist in hell unless you get the blood applied to your sin. Now you listen. There's not one single sin you can stop. There's not one single thing you can do. There's not one single church you can join. There's not one single ordinance you can perform. There's not one single ritual that you can go through. There's not one single good deed that you can do. There's not one single positive thing you can register. There's not one single thing you can do to get your soul to heaven and escape the fires of hell except believe in what God has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's anything that says that's not right is legalism. But now, wait a minute. After that Passover lamb was slain, and after that death angel came over through the night, and after the parents said, oh, praise the Lord, our baby's alive, and the death angels come over, and our family's all well. That wasn't all the Passover. There followed 7 days called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that Feast of Unleavened Bread was 7 days where they ate of the lamb that they'd slain. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, and we trust Him that settles it. We're supposed to feast on Him all the time. Why the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days? Seven is God's number of completion, which means we're always supposed to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust His blood as our hope for heaven and feast upon Him as our strength and our succor as we journey toward heaven. Now, wait a minute. During that 7 days, no leaven could be in the house of any Israelite at all. None. None. God's judgment fell on the family of any family that had leaven in their house. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying God saves you by grace through faith. But after He saves you, He intends for you to clean your life up. Every once in a while, somebody comes and says, yeah, you're always preaching on liquor and dancing and movies and long hair and miniskirts. Yeah, always doing it. Plan to always keep on doing it, too. And, you're a legalist. No, I'm not a legalist either. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm saved by grace through faith. But believe God's people ought to look like God's people, and smell like God's people, and act like God's people, and read like God's people, and watch like God's people, and dress like God's people. You don't have to copy a heathen pagan world. You don't have to. You can look and act like God's folks ought to act. You say, well, what's wrong with wearing long hippie hair? Same thing's wrong wearing a sailor's uniform. You're not in the Navy. say anything wrong with wearing a Marine's outfit. You're not in the Marines. I mean, if you're not a woman, don't wear the uniform. If you're not a communist, don't wear the uniform. He says, I don't like your preaching. I don't like your living either. He says, I'm sick of your kind. Yeah, I'm just sick of your kind. And you may as well get used to my kind or go hear some little sissy preacher somewhere every Sunday night. Because I aim to stay on the long hair and the hippie hair and the mini skirts and the slacks. Yeah, the slacks. And the shorts and all the rest of it. I aim to stay right where I've stayed 25, 30 years. Have no intention to changing whatsoever. I mean, you may as well call the sun down out of the sky. You may as well tell the moon to turn green. You may as well make you an ice cream sundae out of the Rocky Mountains. I don't aim to change. I've been preaching too long like this and don't aim to change at all. Why? Because I believe you're saved by grace through faith. But I believe, listen, one of the main reasons, God has shined his blessing upon this church through these years, and God knows it's true. We've not trimmed our message. We've gone right down the line. We preach the same separation we've always preached. Well, you say, well, you lose a bunch of folks. I'll just lose a bunch of folks. I never did preach to get them or keep them. I preached the truth to try to make folks right with God. And if somebody wants to get out and leave because you're afraid to... Old Harry Truman said, you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Yeah. But I'd be ashamed under God when somebody is weeping and pleading and trying to make something out of your kids. I'd be ashamed under God not to stand up and cheer him while he does it and say, thank God, somebody loves us enough to preach the truth to us and teach the truth to us. So, on the night before the Passover, or at least before the Passover, the head of the Jewish family had a job to perform. He, I'm sure with the help of other members of the family and also the servants, it was their job to get all the leaven out of the house. Now hold it. Did the getting of the leaven out of the house save them? No, it didn't save them. The blood applied to the doorpost and the lintels saved them. But the fact that you're saved means there are certain ways you're supposed to live. Now, I was in the army before I wore a uniform, but I put the uniform on. I was in the army before I ever pulled KP, but I pulled KP. I was sworn in the United States Army and had never walked guard, but I walked guard. I was a paratrooper in the United States Paratroopers before I ever made a jump out of an airplane. But a paratrooper will jump, and a soldier will wear a uniform, and a fish will swim, and a dog will bark, and a cat will meow, and a bird will fly, and a Christian will clean himself up and yield himself to God to do it. So, what happened? On the night, or before the Passover, here comes the father of the house. Now, the first thing he'd do, he'd get all the leaven out. Now, I think he started, and in fact, I know he did. He started by moving out the big loaves of bread. Why? Leaven is molding on bread. And no leaven can be in the house. Why? This is the Passover time. And so he gets the bread. Let's just say he goes to the bread box. He gets the bread. He goes to the cupboard. He gets the bread. The big loaves of bread. They've got to go. Why? All leaven's got to go. 7 days. The feast of unleavened bread. All the leaven's got to go. So he starts off with the big loaves. I guess that's where you ought to start with sin, isn't it? Get the big sins out first. I think that a Christian ought to start getting out the sin of drunkenness and profanity and sex sin and dirty magazines and dirty jokes and dirty movies and dirty books and so forth. And I guess that's where you ought to start. Anybody here tonight's got beer in your icebox, come down the altar, get right with God, ask God to forgive you, and get the dirty leaven out, the big loaves of bread. Anybody here tonight, you got a dirty Playboy magazine at home? Bring it, come down the aisle. I start to leave the Playboy magazine at the altar. Don't do it. Go home, burn it. And I don't want the dirty thing hanging around here. But you got a Playboy magazine at home? In God's name, get the leaven out! Read like a Christian ought to read. And a lady said the other day, said, you holler so loud while you preach. It hurts my ears. Honey, it's not how loud I holler. It's what I holler bothers you. And so I'm saying, get it out! You've been reading these dirty magazines and watching these filthy sex-oriented television programs. Hit the mortars, bitch, and make it right with God and get the loaves of leaven out of your house. We're supposed to be in a constant feast of the unleavened bread all the time. Anybody tonight living in dirty sin? Anybody living tonight in dirty immorality? Anybody going to dirty sex X-rated movies? For that matter, A-rated movies are bad. and B and C and D and E and all the rest of them are bad. Anybody going to Hollywood movies, hit the altar! Get right with God. You folks been watching these late movies and 11 and 12 o'clock at night or 9 or 10 o'clock at night on television. Hit the altar and get the loaves of bread out of your house. You young folks been listening to dirty rock music. Hit the altar and get the leaven out of your house. You've been wearing your miniskirts. Hit the altar and get the leaven out of your house. And be sure that the leaven is all out. The big loaves of leaven are out of your house. Somebody said, Brother House, won't you preach love? I am preaching love.
Amen.
Person that tells you to be clean and decent loves you more than the poor pussyfooter loves you. Fellas tries to make you decent, make something out of you. Give you a happy life and a fruitful life and a peaceful life. That's a preacher that loves you. These little ear tickling back scratchers, they don't love you. All they love is they want you to love them. They want to make peace with you. They want you to pay them. They want you to like them. What you need is some man of God to stand up here and say, get right with God and get those dirty magazines, you ladies watching these little filthy afternoon serials. These little triangular romances where John's other wife and Mary's other husband and Pete's other girlfriend and all these little triangular garbage things, little cesspool of iniquity on television. Hit the altar! I'm talking about some of you ladies, 75 and 80 and 85 and 90 and 45 and 50. Come down here and just let your old arthritic knees creak and get right with God. And get that garbage out of your house or burn the television set, one or the other. In God's dear name, it's time we took the leaven out of our houses. You say, Brother Hiles, I came to pastor school and you weren't like this. Well, I'm glad you stayed over because you need to find, have the real Jack Hiles to stand up every once in a while. You dirty coward, you. You say, if I preach like this, my folks would fire me. If you don't, they ought to fire you, you yellow-bellied coward. I aim to. You fellows from Canada, I was up in Canada preaching, and we're having question-answer time. And so one afternoon, and I love the Canadians. For some reason or other, they keep inviting me back. I don't know why. I'll probably get several cancellations tonight. But anyway, I was up in Canada preaching, and so one fellow stood up in the afternoon question-answer session, and he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, you don't understand us. Well, I only fair to say they didn't understand me either. And he said, we feed it on the inside. We just don't show it on the outside. Well, I said, we have folks like that down in Texas, too. He said, you do? I said, yeah, we don't call them Canadians. We call them backsliders, but we have the same type of people down there all together. Listen to me. You Canadian preachers, and I say this to you, brother, if Playboy magazine is wrong in Hammond, Indiana, it's wrong in Manitoba, it's wrong in Ontario, it's wrong in British Columbia, it's wrong in Saskatchewan, it's wrong in Vancouver, it's wrong anywhere. And if American preachers ought to stand up and beat the pulpit and holler against sin and call a nation back to righteousness, Canadian preachers ought to. And English preachers ought to, and German preachers ought to, and Australian preachers ought to, and every preacher under the sun ought to call his folks back to decency again. Get the leaven out of your house. Get the big loaves of bread out. And so it's time for the Passover. And here comes the father, and he gets to, let's get this big loaf of bread out, and let's get this hunk of leaven out, and they take all the big leaven. Now get your big leaven out of your house tonight. What is that sin tonight that's big leaven? Young people, what is it? Some of you folks signed a statement at Hammond Baptist High School. Said you wouldn't listen to rock music. You liar. You deceiver, you. You crooked student, you. You're not right with God, and God's going to judge you for your lying tongue, and you're writing something down you didn't mean. You promised that you wouldn't listen to rock music. Now you get out of Hammond Baptist High School, or get that garbage out of your ears and out of your house and off your record player, or you go somewhere where the heathen go and where the heathen music is played. You parents say, well, it's my child. I know it's your child, but your little Susie or your little Johnny is going to be in a public school before he knows it if you don't get that dirty rock. Well, you say, I don't see anything wrong with it. You will if you lift the altar tonight. You'll see something wrong with it. It's communist-inspired. It came out of hell. It's to deceive the morals of America and destroy the decency of our country. Forsake it. Get it out of your house. Get the records out of your album and get the magazines out of your magazine rack and get the dirty novels out of your library and get the leaven out of your house and live like God's folks ought to live.
Amen.
I hope that in my timid way I'm getting my convictions through again. I feel so bad sometimes for fear that you won't know what I believe. There's a second thing they did. After they'd gotten the big leaven out of their house, they came and they got the stray crust out of the house, the crumbs on the table. Anybody here ever sliced bread? Used to slice bread when I was a kid. I still slice it some because I eat a lot of health food bread. And you get a butcher knife and you slice bread. Now, the bread, you go to bed at night maybe, and the next morning your wife gets up and she looks and says, "I'll declare, why can't they wipe the crumbs off of the table?" And so she says, "Why don't you wipe the crumbs off the table?" In a sweet, tender, loving, feminine voice. She says it. And so the next Sunday night after the service, you go home and you wipe the crumbs off the table on the floor where all crumbs ought to go. And what did the father do next before the Passover? He got the big loaves out, but he got the crumbs out too. He got the crumbs out. Not only should you get the drunkenness out and the adultery out and the profanity out and the dirty magazines out and the dirty jokes out and the cursing out and the filth out and the dirty television programs out and the movies out, but there's some crumbs on the table and the floor you need to get out too tonight. Such crumbs as, I mean, smaller sins. Smaller sins. How about gossip? That's sin. That's leaven. Before you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, before you can have the Passover properly, you need to get the crumbs out too. Get the gossip out. Get out the idle talk about people. Get out the slander. Clean it out of your house. The smaller sins, such as temper. Some of you folks tonight, you sit here very nice tonight. And you're very, very, very courteous and kind. And you say hello, Brother Hiles. How are you? And you go home after the service and you'll be a holy terror. I mean, you'll holler at your wife and say, "Why can't you be on time on Sunday morning?" And she says, "Why, you big ox, you, I've got to bathe and dress these 18 kids in the house here. All you got to do is dress your own big old carcass and go out there and sit on a horn for 30 minutes. And, but you come to church, you're mighty nice. I mean, you're really sweet. You're just as loving as can be." I was walking across the parking lot one day out there on a Sunday morning, and I saw a couple coming, and she looked at him, and she went, and he went, and she looked at the kids and said, and he looked at her and said, and then they both saw me, and she said, "Oh, good morning, Brother Howes. Didn't the Lord give us a lovely day today?" Yeah, you hypocrite, you. Go home, get all that old leaven out of the house. The crumbs, all the crummy sins out of the house. The hot temper. I cannot understand to save my life why God's people can't treat each other right. I can't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension why God's people have to criticize each other and why we can't get along with each other and why we have to fuss with each other. Somebody told me a couple of high school teachers in our high school won't even speak. I'll guarantee you one thing. You better speak before tomorrow, because if you don't speak before tomorrow, you may never see that teacher again. Now, we're not going to have that in our high school. No, we're not. No, we're not. Well, what you going to do? Fire the teachers. You say, "How about, doesn't the board have a right to say so?" Well, I'll fire them, and then the board will board them after they're gone, but I'm not going to have them. No, 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 no. No, sir. Not going to do it. We're going to be Christians at Hammond Baptist High School. We're going to be Christians at Hiles Anderson College. We're going to be Christians at Hammond Baptist Grade School. We're going to love each other. If I've got to hate you to do it, I mean, we're going to have peace if I've got to choke you. And what am I saying? I'm saying, get the crumbs out! Those bad attitudes and those temper tantrums and the jealousy and the laziness and the unkind words and the criticism. Get it out! I want you tonight, I want all of us tonight to before we leave, if there are any bitternesses in our hearts, or if we've thrown temper tantrums, and if we have enemies, and if we won't speak to people, and if we have unkindnesses and discourtesies, and if we have thrown tempers at home and so forth, I want us to come down tonight and make it right with God and get the leaven out! Ladies and gentlemen, our country's going to hell! Some church has to get along with each other and love each other and stand together and be in one accord. Somebody's got to do it. And so get it out. But that isn't all they did. After they'd taken the large loaves of bread and the stray crust, then the father, he went inside the cupboard. He just didn't get the bread crumbs that were left on the table. He didn't just get the ketchup that spilled out of the side of the sandwich. He didn't just get the crackers, crumbs, that were on the floor. Then he went inside the cupboard. And he'd take a candle, take that candle, hold that candle inside the cupboard, and look as best he could for every little piece of leaven. Why? Because that leaven is a symbol of sin. And this Passover time is a picture of Christ. And there's no sin in Christ. And God wants no sin in no leaven in the house, because leaven pictures sin. And so they'd look inside the cupboards and look for leaven there. And they'd look in the cups for leaven there. They'd look in the glasses for any leaven that might be there. They'd open the drawer that had the silverware, or at your house, it's more like brassware, and look at the china, I mean the crystal. In some of our houses, it's peanut butter jars and so forth, and jelly jars. But look at the crystal and see, is there any leaven in the crystal? Is there any leaven on the knives, any leaven on the forks, any leaven on the spoons, any leaven in the cups, any leaven in the glasses, any leaven on the plates, any leaven on the saucers? They went, they'd go to the place where they cooked, and if they had ovens, they'd check those, and they'd check the towels, dish towels, and they'd check the cookware. And what was that? They were checking for hidden leaven. Hey, you got any hidden leaven tonight? Oh, no, you don't smoke cigarettes. You got any hidden leaven? Oh, no, you don't have any sex sin. Got any hidden leaven? Oh, no, you don't drink liquor. You have no beer in your icebox. Got any hidden leaven tonight? You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the hidden leaven of bitterness in our hearts. Oh, the longer I live, the more I want to love people. The longer I live, the more I don't want to have unkind feeling toward anybody. I want to hate sin. I want to hate the devil. But I don't want to hate sinners. I overhear the other night in the hallway a mission man, and I love him very much. He's been in our mission off and on for a long time. And sometimes our mission men get drunk and go back into sin, and we try to help them. Old Jerry McCauley used to say up at the Bowery Mission in New York City, we never give up on a man. We never give up on a man. And I don't know if they still have that cat. Still got that cat at the mission? They used to have a cat at the mission, named him Wino. And I'm sure they should have. Say, well, I don't believe in that. Me either. Criticized Brother Sully about that. And Brother John used to be mission director. But one of our mission men went into, got on a drinking binge, on a drunk, and he came over to the office, and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, you're the only friend I've got in the world. And I hugged him, and I kissed him on the cheek and told him I loved him. I hate the dirty liquor traffic that made him drunk. I hate the Joseph Kennedy mess that led us into that, and the Kennedy family leading us into that kind of garbage. And I hate the Congress allowing it. And I hate not the people, but I hate the dirty taverns that sell it. And I hate the filthy hell holes around here that wreck lives and homes and children and dreams and break air castles and hopes. I hate it. But I love that poor man that's caught in the snares of the wicked one. And he said, you're the best friend I've got in the world, and I want to be the best friend. But I'm saying this. That's you don't do that, do you? But how about your bitterness? How about your unkindness? How about the hidden leaven down inside? How about the hatred? How about the envy? How about rebellion? How about the vengeance? No, you don't say it. You just say to yourself, I hate that teacher. You don't say that out loud. You haven't got the courage to walk up and say it, but in your heart you have hatred. Listen to me. You better have grace for poor, sinful people. Brother, God had grace on you. You better be thankful God didn't treat you like you treat others. I've heard of some young people in our church in fact, I heard it this morning. One young girl said to another, I think I'm a creep? I think you're a creep. Now, I'll say this. Neither one of those girls better think anybody's a creep. The truth is, all of us are creeps. Listen, why can't Christian young folks love each other? Why does anybody have to criticize somebody else? Why does anybody have to live like the pagan heathen world and not love each other? Why can't the college students love each other? Listen, brother, if Dr. Billings and I can love each other after the awful, awful thing he said about heaven, and, you know, he attributed the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil a while ago and committed the unpardonable sin. And if I can forgive that kind of a dastardly attack on the Holy Land, the least you can do is forgive those that have committed small sins against you. You you heard the story, didn't you? Brother Vineyard looked over when I... It said something, reminded me of a story about the fellow got married. And he got married, and on his honeymoon, it was back in the old days, they had a horse and buggy. And so he started going, and the horse acted up a little bit. And the fellow got the whip out, and said, that's once! And so they rode a little while on the honeymoon, just got married, and the horse acted up again. And the fellow said, that's twice! And after a while, the third time, the horse acted up, and the fellow said, that's three times! He got a gun and shot the horse right in the head, and the horse was bleeding to death right before him. And his new bride couldn't believe what she had seen, and she looked at her new husband and said, do you think you should have done that? He said, that's once! When Dr. Billings made that insidious attack upon the Holy of Holies, and where the Shekinah glory lives all the time, I can prove it! When have you seen the sun shine up here? What I'm trying to say is, Brother Vineyard looked over and said, that's once. Two more smart cracks about the south, and out he goes. I mean, right through the head. That'll be the second horse that would die the same way. Doc, it is not wise ever to say anything like that, because I always get up here last. Of course, now he'll write some poem and read it. Brother Boardway, you'll be leading the singing during the while I go get ready for baptism tonight. You'll be leading the singing. Why can't we love each other? I think teenagers ought to get the leaven of hatred out of their hearts. And college students ought to get the leaven of hatred out of their hearts. And deacons ought to get the leaven of hatred out of their hearts. And women ought to get the leaven of hatred out of their hearts. Why don't you tonight say, as they did of old, as you see that Christ is our Passover, and we're supposed to have the Passover all the time, get the leaven out! Get the big leaven out! Get out the liquor and the lewdness and the sex sin, and get out the Playboy magazines and throw out the dirty television program, but go farther than that. Throw out the temper tantrums, throw out the fusses, throw out the arguments, but go farther than that. Throw out the envy and the jealousy and the unkind thoughts and the hatred and that which is not seen inside the cupboard. I want to please him. I mean that. I want to be able to please him. When Dr. George W. Truett was on his deathbed, he went into a coma. He'd sort of come and go. And one night he was in a coma all night long. And the nurse attended. And the next morning he woke up and he said, nurse, come here, please. And he was dying, but he asked the nurse, said, nurse, I was not in my right mind during the night, was I? And she said, no. He said, what did I do? And she said, sometimes you're preaching. And sometimes you're out soul winning. And sometimes you're teaching the Bible. And Dr. Truett clapped his dying hands together and said, oh, I'm so pleased. Even when I'm not conscious and in a coma, I wouldn't want to do anything to displease my Savior. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing tonight if you and Sue and I would say, let the meditation and words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Didn't our Lord say, it's more than just thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, if you look at a woman and in your heart you lust after her, to commit adultery with her, you've already done so in your heart. Cleanse thou me from secret fault, said the psalmist David. But wait a minute. That secret fault David is talking about, he said, what that really means is, cleanse thou me from faults I don't even know are sinful myself. Not just those I have hidden from you, but those that I don't even know about myself. David was saying, Lord, shine this flood spotlight of the Word of God upon my sins and let me know some things that are sinful that I didn't even know before are sinful. Cleanse thou me from his sins, even hidden to myself. And so the inside the cupboard was all cleansed. Brother Vineyard, did you ever come home? And Mrs. Vineyard said, you notice anything different? That's one of the meanest things a woman can do to a man. There's nothing. I mean, cancer is nothing compared to that. Murder is a venial sin compared to that. And she said, notice anything different? And, the other day. And you looked around the house, and you didn't notice anything at all. To us, the house doesn't look indifferent, whether it's clean or dirty. I mean, in fact, we sort of like it dirty better. And so, Brother Vineyard, he's a good man, and he's a kind fella, and he didn't want to hurt her feelings. And so he said, oh, sure. Yeah, see it? She said, what is it? And he said, I don't know. I don't know. And so she said, you didn't notice it, did you? And he looks around. Oh, yeah, sure, I see it. What? He said, I don't know. I don't know. She picks up the phone and dials the number of the attorney. And and he says, I wish I could figure out what it is. She says, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It's in the kitchen. He goes in the kitchen. You notice it now? Huh? Huh? He says, he looks dumb, as usual. It's not hard. And he looks dumb. And she says, you see it? And he says, oh, sure. How could I have missed it? She said, you didn't notice? Oh, yeah. What is it? I don't know. I don't know. And finally, she opens the cabinet, and she looks in the cabinet, and she says, Jim, I put clean paper underneath the dishes in the cabinet. And she says, you didn't even notice! He wants her to call the lawyer. And so he looks at her and he says, I didn't even know we had paper under the dishes in the cabinet. And she said, that does it, that does it, that's it! And then she opens the oven and says, I cleaned the oven. And he said, I didn't even know the oven ever got dirty. There's not a lady in this house tonight, but what doesn't know what I'm talking about? You know it's true. You can have the floors all waxed, and you can have the walls all polished, and you can have the carpet all... You polish walls? Huh? You don't polish walls. No wonder your house looks a mess all the time. Why don't you polish your walls? Come down to that! Get on your knees and get the leaven of unpolished walls out of your life. God, pity that kind of paganism. The trouble with you Polish people, you don't... Polish your wall! But anyway, you can have the walls all washed and the carpet all vacuumed. And you can tell how much I know about stuff like this, can't you? You can see my office tonight, you'd know. But every woman knows this is true. That she doesn't feel like the house is clean as long as there's dirty paper in the cabinets and as long as the oven is not clean. Now, the dear, listen, I don't know the condition of your house tonight, but he does. I do not know what your heart is like tonight, but he does. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any leaven down in here? Hey, boys, is there anybody in the world tonight against whom you have some leaven? Right in here. Huh? Huh? Well, you say he hated me first. I didn't ask you that. You know, no man was supposed to get leaven out of his neighbor's house. They didn't say in the Passover time, I want you to go to your neighbor's house and get all the leaven out. No, I said, I want you to do it in your own house. Your own house. I can't make you love me. If you want to be bitter toward me and have leaven toward me, I cannot do a thing about that. But there's one thing I can do something about. I can get the leaven out of here. Any leaven in your heart tonight? Is your oven leavened tonight? You have leaven in the paper underneath the dishes tonight? Huh? Is there leaven in the silverware drawer tonight? Any bitterness in your heart? Any envy? any jealousy. You can't understand why she sang the solo instead of you. You can't understand why he got that part in the trio and you didn't. You can't understand why that teacher likes him more than he likes you, because he got a grade he didn't deserve. You should have made a better grade than that. Huh? You can't understand it? Get it out. Get it out! Get it out! In the balcony. Get it out. No talking, please. And I'm not kidding. You get that living out of your heart tonight. That isn't all they did. The father took the big loaves of bread out. Then he got the crumbs out off the top of the drain board. What you call it? Drain board, cabinet top, and so forth. Got the crumbs out. Then he swept the crumbs off the floor. But in case there were some crumbs inside that weren't seen with the eyes of men, he got the crumbs out and he got the leaven out. That isn't all they did. Did you know what the father did? He went to the closet or the place where all the clothes were kept and got that candle, and he went through every pocket and in every garment, and he went through every hem in every garment and got and checked it for leaven. Why no leaven in the clothing? You got leaven in your closet tonight? You got a miniskirt in there, you do. You have leaven in your closet tonight? You got one of these little bathing suits where you go show your thighs to men in public, you do. You got leaven in your closet tonight? If you boys you boys have these tight breeches that show your self while you walk down the street, you got leaven in your closet tonight. If you girls have these tight sweaters so you can show your breast to everybody so they can lust after you, then you've got leaven in your closet tonight. Get it out! Get it out, get it out, get it out. Why can't God's people dress like God's people? Well, sir, how do you think you go to hell because you wear a miniskirt? No, you won't go to hell because you wear a miniskirt. But while you're going to heaven, why don't you look like folks that are going to heaven? Why don't you tell folks you're going to heaven by the way you dress? Listen, you'd be amazed. I looked out while our teenagers were singing up here. Our Mrs. Colson, Sweet 16, what you call your group? Sweet 16. And her group of girls were singing. I looked out at pastors, and pastors by the dozens were tears just streaming down their cheeks. And they came to me and they said, thank God there's a place where ladies are still ladies in America. And thank God for the decent length skirt. And thank God for the young men that get decent haircuts. And the pastors sit out there and go. Last Sunday morning, we had the 30,000 in Sunday school. A couple, Linda said she saw a couple out in the hallway. She was going down the hallway. She saw a couple sitting out in the hallway, and they were just weeping and beside themselves. And the man was shaking his head, a preacher, a man of God, and he was shaking his head, and he said, I never thought I'd get to see anything like this. I never thought I'd get to see anything like this. Well, blessed be God, we aim to keep it like this too, brother. We aim to keep it like this. Yeah. No, we're not going to have any ministered gals singing in our groups up here. We're not going to have these fellows able to see the thighs of girls that are still in the front row up here. Not going to do it. Somebody said to me this week, well, we have to wear robes for our choir because the low-neck dresses the choir members wear. I'll choke the necks of these choir members up here if they start wearing low-neck dresses. I'll do it in love, but I'll do it. You say, Brother Hodge, you seem to think, no, I'll tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying that I've got thousands of people in this room tonight who will stand right beside me when we say to our choir members, you're not going to show your breast in the choir and wear your short skirts in the choir. We're not going to do it. Why? We're going to get the leaven out of our closets. That's why. And clean the closet up and get the leaven out. That isn't all. Then they take the candle and they'd go in around the baseboard, around the edge, and they'd take that candle to see if they could find any leaven or crumbs around the edge of the baseboard. And they'd get up to the top of the house, the ceiling, and they'd stand up on something and take that candle, hold that candle all the way around the top where the ceiling meets the the wall, and that seeth is in it, leaven up there. And did you know if they'd see a little mouse crawl across the floor, they'd follow that mouse and go in the hole where that mouse was, and they'd be sure that mouse, little mouse, didn't have some leaven in his mouth or didn't take a piece of bread over in that hole. Why? They wanted every crevice in their houses clean of leaven. That's the way God wanted. And it says, when Christ is our Passover, purge out the old leaven, catharize out the old leaven. How? Just as the Passover, they kept the leaven out of their houses. Now then, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to fight that hard to keep the leavens out of our bodies. Leaven out of our bodies. The servants would join the search. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying God wants not only that the big loaves of bread out, and God not only wants the crumbs out, and God not only wants the crumbs out of the inside of the cupboard and the stove and the glasses and the cups. But God wants the leaven out of the corners and the crevices and the ceiling. God wants it out of everywhere in the house. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. You got any bad motives? Huh? You got any bad motives? Anybody here teach a class this morning and you did it with the wrong motive? Anybody ever preach a sermon and you do it with the wrong motive? Anybody ever sing a solo and you did it with the wrong motive? Anybody ever teach a class in a high school, college, or grade school and did it with the wrong motive? Anybody ever want to build a big bus route and did it with the wrong motive? Now, let me say this, and I say it sincerely. If you got a big crowd just to beat the North, I'm sorry, if you got a big crowd just to beat the North or South, then that's not the motive. I think there's a lot of fun, and I think we had a lot of fun in it. And I know I had a lot of fun seeing all those Yankees get busted in the mouth for all of the Southerners. But the dear Lord Jesus wants us to serve Him because we love Him. Amen. And He wants us to preach because we love Him. He wants us to sing because we love Him. Amen. And when the motives are bad, there's leaven in the house. The leaven of bad motives. The leaven of pride. The leaven of a lack of love. The leaven of unkindness. The leaven of insincerity. Charles Spurgeon used to say when he prayed, he said, "Dear Jesus, help me to love You so much that when I look up and say, 'Jesus, I love you,' you can look back and say, 'Charles, I know you do. I know you do.'" The leaven of prayerlessness. How long have you prayed this week? How many hours do you spend a week on your face before God? The leaven of prayerlessness. The leaven of not tithing. Did you give God 10% of your income today, or did you rob God today? Well, not long ago, you visitors don't know this, but some of our bus kids went down to the Catholic Church on a Sunday morning and stole some money out of the offering plate. And three or four of our deacons joined them. they didn't, but the bus kids did steal some money out of the plate. And I announced it. We were horrified. I was, and you were. That's wrong. That's wicked, and it shouldn't have happened. But it's not half as wicked as you robbing God and not giving God 10% of your income. You God robber, you deceiver, you ungrateful Christian. Enjoy God's sunshine, eat God's food, breathe God's air, drink God's water, have God's salvation, go into God's heaven, and then rob God of the 10% that's rightly His out of your income. Get it out tonight! Get it out! Get the dirty leaven out. The prayerlessness, the not tithing, the cheating on tests, the lust in your heart, the hurt feelings. And say with the psalmist, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight." But that isn't all they did. They got the candle and they went looking. Any leaven here? Any leaven? Looking for any leaven at all. Where's the leaven? Is any over here? And they watched and they watched and they watched, trying to get all the leaven out of the house. But the next day in the Passover, they did the same thing all over again. All over again. They'd have to, the head of the house would look for the leaven again, get all the crumbs out, and look again to see if any little mouse might have come across the floor and carried one little crumb. No leaven in the house. None at all. Now, every day we ought to do the same thing. Listen to me. All of us are bent toward the same temptation. One of the great scriptures in the Bible, to me, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Did you know the temptation that you have, I have, Dr. John Rice has, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. has, Brother Joe Boyd over here tonight has, Brother C.W. Fisk has? You sit with the house,
I'll tell you, sometimes I get so mad I want to see blood.
Yeah, so do I. The other day, we had 7 rooms reserved in the Holiday Inn over here on Northside in the Holiday Inn. Had them reserved for John Rice and Dr. William Ward Ayer and Dr. Ford Porter and Rudy Atwood and Ira Stanfield and B.R. Lakin, 7 of the most famous men in America. We wanted to treat them right. We sent individual chauffeurs to the airport to chauffeur them around, individual cars. We gave them gifts. We put in their rooms, we put flowers and candy and fruit and gave them letters. And we had one of the most delicious meals you could imagine. I didn't have it, but they did, up here in our bridal room after the service. And we had a lovely little buffet for them before the service and treated them like kings. And we had them reserved for several weeks in the North Holiday Inn over on the north side. And somebody came in the day before, and they wanted to stay a whole week. And so they gave the rooms we were going to give to Dr. John Rice and Ford Porter and William Ward Ayer and those men. And when they came in, they didn't have any rooms for them. They wanted to ship them way over on the other side of Gary, to East Gary, to that hotel over there. We had rooms reserved here. You said, "Well, how did you feel about that?" Well, with my sweet Christian spirit and my love for people and my compassionate soul, I wanted to kill every stinking person that runs that Holiday Inn over there.